listening to What the Dev, the weekly podcast of ST Times. And now, here's Dave Rubenstein, editor-in-chief of ST Times.
Yes, hello, everyone. Thanks once again for tuning in to the ST Times What the Dev podcast. Today, we're talking about DevOps, but kind of flipping it on its head a bit. We're going to be talking about how DevOps can help in manufacturing. So with us today is Adam Gluck. He's the CEO of a company called Copia Automation. Good morning. How are you, Adam?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How about you?
Can't complain. Thank you. It's a beautiful spring day here on Long Island, and it's a nice place to be right now.
Yeah, so, I'm on the island of Manhattan, and it's looking pretty nice, too.
Oh, there you go. All right. So you could probably see me from where you are. I'm waving. I don't know if you can see me. Anyway, thanks for being with us. And, as I said, one of the things that kind of intrigued me about this topic is what the challenges actually were in manufacturing that, it dawned on you that if we applied some of these Agile and DevOps practices, we can solve some problems. So if you could get into a little bit of what the problem is or problems are and how DevOps can be applied to kind of help overcome those challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think it's worth starting with kind of the evolution of the industrial space, which is kind of from analog to increasingly digital over the last, 50 years, but more specifically over the last 20 years. You see more and more of the actual processes running an industrial plant being driven by codes that look like a huge increase in the number of robotic arms, programmable logic controllers, which are kind of the edge devices that are programmed. A language called ladder logic, which is a visual programming language, and a huge number of sensors and devices in this environment. So you have a lot more code in industrial sites, which I sometimes say is a flavor of software eats the world for industrials, to borrow from, I think it was the Mark Andreessen phrase.
So, yeah, one of the things maybe if you can, specifically get into, what have been the challenges in manufacturing? I know one of the things that comes up is unapproved control changes and tell me about what that means, and again, applying DevOps to solve that particular situation.
Yeah, and I just want to set the context, but yes, so there's a lot more code in these environments, and the end result is that people make changes to these environments, and sometimes they break things, which is the most simple way that I have described, which I think was what DevOps solves for. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you can see that there's kind of a missing set of governance and control problems. There's a, code review is certainly one of them, unapproved changes in the environment. Mm-hmm. I actually think there's a really interesting report that we used to put in slides, which is from Google, puts out a DevOps industry report and talks about how companies that embrace DevOps and IT spend less time, just using surveys, less time putting out fires and more time developing new code. And I think you see a flavor of that same problem in this space. People make changes, they break things. The phrase I've been using all over the place recently is cowboys and firefighters, people shooting from the hip, people fixing challenges. And we would need to replace that with good governance and controls, with good process that people can spend more time on development. And less time on, fixing issues because, the phrase you just used, an unapproved change, went into the environment.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't know if you know this or not. Our company, we have been running a conference for the last 5 years on a value stream management, which basically the whole concept of that is, find bottlenecks, eliminate bottlenecks, automate where you can, get visibility into everything. Many of the same practices you hear about with DevOps and Agile and Lean and things like that. And what I find interesting is that so that started in the manufacturing world and now organizations are using it in their software, creating a value stream maps to see, if the project that they're working on is delivering the value that the business is interested in. Instead of that old story of, the business wants one thing built and the development team built something completely different because they didn't understand the requirements, they don't talk the same language. So now here you're talking about applying what has always been thought of as a software practice, DevOps, and now putting that into manufacturing. So it's kind of interesting to me. It looks like it's kind of everything coming full circle.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have like Toyota with Agile and all that stuff mm-hmm. as well. So there's really this coming full circle. And there's also an interesting thing where IT and OT kind of evolved in parallel. And so, you know, it's interesting. IT was borrowing stuff from OT at one point, mm-hmm. OT being operational technology, so industrial automation. And now I think, to your point, we're seeing it come full circle where OT is now kind of taking practices back from IT. And who knows, maybe in 20, 30 years, we'll see that it shifts again.
Very interesting. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your background and how you, you know, got to this point, you know, with this realization that things could be done better in the manufacturing space.
Yeah, I mean, I come from a relatively deep DevOps background, I assume you could say. So when I was at, I started my career at Uber, I formed a team called the Driver Platform Team. The challenge we were having is, you know, when I joined Uber, there was 200, 300 software engineers. We scaled to 3,800 by the time I left. And then my team had, you know, maybe 4 to 5 people, and we had a 200 person driver org within 3 years. So Driver Platform was saying, hey, we have all these engineers coming in. They're all making changes in this environment. How do we build a platform, a set of processes, and also even looking at the application architecture itself so that people didn't break the application? And so that was really tied to, and then again, you have this challenge of shipping a driver app, which you can't roll back that easily because it's also going through the iOS App Store. So there is a lot of stuff there. And then beyond that, I went on and joined a team called Engineering Strategy, which was looking at, you know, Uber's overall backend architecture. I worked on a project called Uber Architecture 3.0, which we publish a blog post on called Domain Oriented Microservice Architecture. So spent a lot of time thinking about how developers build things. And then, you know, at the same time, bits and atoms were really compelling to me, moving physical things with code. And so I kind of stumbled across industrial automation and all the code in industrial sites and started talking to people, and it just seemed like these practices were missing there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's very, very interesting though, coming from Uber and, you know, seeing those challenges. So, yeah. I understand that you have a background in sociology and, you know, how did you get to the point of turning that into, you know, a career in technology?
Yeah, I mean, I taught myself to code undergrad, and then I was super interested in startups in general. So I was just building projects all the time. None of those manifested anything I wanted to take into the big leagues when I graduated from school. But I was sitting there with a pretty strong coding background. So I just applied to tech jobs. At the time, Uber was starting to scale up its mobile team, and I had a pretty deep mobile background. So I came in. Actually, I think I was the first college new grad that they hired onto their mobile team at the time.
Oh, so very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So what sectors would you say in manufacturing that, you know, people can start to apply these DevOps practices? I guess it's limitless, I would think. Which types of manufacturing sectors could benefit most from that?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Any industrial vertical that has automation involved, I think textiles, shoe manufacturing, there's some industries that actually just don't have that much automation right now for technical reasons. They have a harder time adopting, you know, these sorts of practices just because there's less code in the industrial site. Although I'm sure there's lots of process for change management already in those environments. Just code change management is kind of the underserviced area there. And then outside of that, though, you can see automotive, distribution, semiconductors have a ton of automation involved in them, utilities, oil and gas, aerospace. I mean, basically, I think I read some statistics that 60 to 70% of industrial companies have, automation now. So I have to go find that, so fact check it. But, you're just seeing that basically every industrial vertical has code in these environments. And then you're seeing more and more job openings in industrials. I think right now there's technically a million job openings in industrials. So, and there's a huge retirement thing that happened during COVID. So there's really a strong need to automate. Oh, food and beverage is another one. But there's a strong need to automate in these environments.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, I mean, industrial automation, you know, has been around for quite some time, obviously. But now there's all this buzz around AI and, generative AI, creating code and things like that. Where are you seeing that impacting perhaps, you know, some of these, the DevOps processes and the automation in manufacturing? Is it as much of a buzz in manufacturing as it is in software development?
It's not as much a buzz right now. There is one big difference in industrials, which is that everyone has their own programming environments, and they're often visual. Mm-hmm. So for code generation to take off, I think there's still going to be a few more evolutions involved in that. So I know some of the vendors are looking into it right now and how to bring it to their platform, and you know, there might be some way of doing it. But in general, it's just a little bit, I don't want to say behind, it's just the tool chain's a little bit different. So the same code gen tools, you know, don't work straight off the shelf for industrial environments. Mm-hmm. But people are very excited about it. Actually, there was a survey that came out recently. I think it was Rockwell's digital manufacturing survey. And I think people said Gen AI, and AI is their like the number one thing people are excited about. So I don't want to act like it's not exciting and people aren't excited about it. I think it's just slightly further off. Whereas like most dev teams, I think in software are using Gen AI right now. Right. I think it's still something people are excited about and developing in industrials.
Absolutely. Good stuff. All right, Adam Gluck, CEO of Copia Automation. Thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, and as things evolve, you know, we'd love to have you back and, you know, follow up and see how things are going.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. Okay, well, thanks. And thanks to our audience of listeners for joining us again today. Appreciate that. Once again, I'm Dave Rubenstein, editor-in-chief of SD Times. So long for now.